The 2002 Bassmaster Classic comes back in memories for me. I was at that event, and it was really a neat deal to see Jay Ellis go from wire to wire and win that. And with me today on Legends Radio is Jay Ellis. And, Jay, that had to be a special event for you.
Oh, yeah, that was the pinnacle of my fishing career so far, to not just win the Classic, but to dominate the Classic in a way that has never been dominated. As far as having the big fish each day, that was, I mean, it was just my week, you know. There's been other guys that have had big margins of victory, but I don't think anybody's ever let it wire to wire and had the big fish all 3 days. That was unique, and I've had a lot of people tell me they really thought that was one of the best all-time classics, so I'm glad that the fans got as much out of it as I did.
Well, I can tell you I remember just about all the classics, but that one probably is one that I remember as well as any. I mean, I really remember two more than others. I remember the Arkansas River with Rick Klun, and then I remember your win. And you look back at it and you think about just how strategic that was for your career. But also, I want to pick your brain a little bit. I want to go through your mindset. You know, you go to this Classic, you've had a good year, you're thinking, hey, I can win this thing. But, you know, kind of go through what you thought and what your process was while you were at the Classic at that time.
If you remember, I was just coming off a dramatic come-from-behind Angler of the Year win on the FLW Tour in the month prior to the Classic. In June of 2002, we were up at Lake Champlain, and I had like about a 40-point deficit to Kevin Van Dam going into the final event, and somehow I was able to pass him and win Angler of the Year. That was really like shot me out of a cannon as far as getting me on this big push of momentum in my career. And, you know, because Kevin he's not one to relinquish a lead. He's always a good, strong closer. And when he's in the lead, you know, he always wins. But anyway, not that year on FLW. So anyway, that got me out there. And that momentum, I think, from winning that FLW angle of the year just carried over into the Classic. And now momentum, you know, that's a fun, it's kind of an intrinsic quality that we talk about. And we can't really control momentum when it comes and goes. But I really believe as an angler or an athlete, when you have momentum, there's things you can do to kind of keep it around. You know, you just try to stay positive and don't try to do anything that would break your momentum by, you know, getting out of sync or losing your focus or doing something unsportsmanlike. You know, you just want to kind of protect that momentum that you've got. And I remember going straight from Champlain, winning FLW Angler of the Year, to I actually missed the day of the practice for the Classic because I won Angler of the Year. And anyway, I drove straight from Lake Champlain to Lay Lake, practiced for 5 days, and had a so-so practice, but I committed that year to fishing the river on Lay Lake, and I'd fished 11 previous Classics, and I'd always, during the practice day round, just fished all over the fishery. And this year I decided, you know, after 11 years of fishing and not winning, I decided, well, I'm just going to pick one section of this lake that I know the winning fish do live in, and I'm going to just really spend all my practice time in there and just try to learn every little subtle nuance of that body of water. So I fished like 5 miles below the Logan Martin Dam for 5 straight days. I made my discipline myself to stay in that one area, kind of put all my eggs in that basket. Well, sure enough, we go back to the tournament. That area was red hot, and the other parts of the lake were off. And, in fact, 3 of the top 4 anglers in that Classic that I won were all fishing within 2 miles of Logan Martin Dam. So I always use the baseball analogies because I love the game, but when you have a slugger that's at the plate and he guesses what pitch the pitcher's going to throw, you know, if he guesses a fastball, you know, on the inside corner of the plate and that's the pitch that he gets and he executes, it's going to be a home run. And that's what happens, you know, if you guess wrong and you get a slider or curveball, you're going to strike out. But in the Classic, I put all my eggs in that basket, and I guessed that it would be one below the Logan Martin Dam. Sure enough, that area was on fire. I executed, and I hit a huge home run, grand slam, and won the thing hands down. So, anyway, it was a great event, and it was just a real blessing for my career. That, more than any other title in the sport, really helps establish and solidify an angler's career as being a legend in the sport when you can win the Bassmasters Classic.
There's no question about it. You know, and I want to talk about something else I think is critical there is Lay Lake, you know, is near Birmingham, and the Classic, whenever it's held at Birmingham, records are broken. You know, there's just tons and tons of people. It's different in some locations. So you have this great big group of people. You dominate the Classic. You come out of that after you've won the Angler of the Year, And you've got to be just on a high because everybody in the world then knew. It wasn't just, you know, a few people knew about it. Everybody in the world knew that you were the Bassmaster Classic champion. And then you did it in such a dominating way. There's one story I want you to relate to me, you know, this story of the guy in the pontoon boat and the
oh,
big
yeah.
six-pounder. Could you do that?
No, this is the most dramatic fish story I've ever had. It's just great. He gives God the glory for my win. It just shows that, you know, that he was in control and it was just meant to be. But I was the second day of the tournament, I had a big lead after the first day, so I had about 50 spectator boats and camera boats follow me up the river to my spot. And I'm up there fishing against the bank, flipping my jig in these trees, but I had all these spectators and fans. I had a whole armada of boats. They were lined up across the river watching me fish. And there was some local guys in a pontoon boat that were just striper fishing. They were floating downriver with the current, and we were below Logan Martin Dam, and there's like an 8-mile-an-hour current there as they generate electricity. And pretty soon this pontoon boat gets down to where all these fans are. Now, I'm not in the way of the pontoon boat, but all the fans are. They've got the pontoon boat's drift blocked off, and I guess it made those guys mad in the pontoon boat because I looked over in horror as the guy, the pontoon boat captain, you know, first I waved at him and said, "Hey, guys, how are you?" And they wouldn't even look up at me, you know, and then they cranked this big motor, and instead of idling out of there, he just put the hammer down, and he cut right in front of my boat. I could have reached out and touched him with my rod and proceeded to run right up the shoreline. I was getting ready to fish, and, you know, he's so close to the bank that his pontoon is clipping the overhanging trees, and I'm getting ready to fish. And I mean, this is like the most unsportsmanlike thing I've ever seen, you know, in all my years on the tour. And I liken it to if you were in the Masters golf tournament, you had the leader lining up a 50-foot putt, and some guy would come driving across the green in a golf cart between the ball and the cup, putting big divots in the turf. I mean, that's about on par with how unsportsmanlike this was. You know, I got mad, and I'm angry, and I can't believe it. But I had a live ESPN cameraman in the back deck of my Peter boat that day, so I had to guard my tongue. And anyway, I turned around and looked at that camera, and I just said, you know, I can't believe that guy just did that. I said, how am I supposed to win this tournament, you know, when people are doing things like that? And I said, this is exactly what I said. I said, it would take an act of God for me to catch one now. And I turned around, and I threw my jig out, and my jig hits the water, and I'm not even paying attention to my lure. I'm still seething with anger, and I'm watching this pontoon boat still running upriver, you know, and after a while I go, well, I've got to reel up my slack, and sure enough, my jig washed down river in the current, and I reel up my slack, and I lift up on it, and I could feel a fish chewing on my jig, and I said, I set the hook, I said, I can't believe that I've got one, you know, and it turned out to be, it would have been a miracle right then to catch any little 12-inch keeper, because the water was 4 feet deep and clear, and the boat had just run right through there. But it wasn't just any keeper. That fish turned out to be the biggest bass of the whole Bassmasters Classic. It was like 6'14", biggest fish of the whole 3 days of competition. It was a very cast. After I said it would take an act of God to catch one now, and I got back to my room that night. I was reflecting on that, and I was like, man, you know, when I said that, it gave God a chance to show his power on international television, and he took it. But it was just a one-time deal, though, Terry, because every tournament I've fished since then, every time I pitch my jig out under my breath, I'm saying, it would take an act of God to catch my cow. And it has not happened again. That was just a one-time deal. But that's how I won the Classic. So when you have stories like that, you know, I mean, how can you not give God the glory and say that it was meant to be, you know, that in his plan for me to win? Because that was just a very inspirational time and just a phenomenal set of events that led to that catch of that big bass. So that was my big fish pontoon boat story.
Well, Jay, I appreciate it. You know, whenever we get to talk to a legend of the sport, those kind of stories are the ones that we really carry away from it. And I appreciate you being with us here at Legends Radio, and look forward to see how this Angler of the Year race goes with FLW, because I think that there's going to be a lot of guys chasing you, and I'm not sure any of them can catch you, but we'll see how that turns out.
Okay, Terry, thanks for having me as your guest.
I'm Terry Brown. This has been Legends Radio.